Record, and by the way, this should record our service today so that I'll be able today or tomorrow to put it on the internet. And if you know someone who couldn't be here, and if they have internet access, they can hear the message on our church website as well. This is a special time during our worship service when we center on God's Word, and I invite you at this time to stand for the reading of God's Word today. If you're using a pew Bible, it's page 1371. I'll be reading from Daniel chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. Daniel chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." God's word for us this morning. Please be seated. I wonder what the following people and the situations might have in common. What if you were the goalkeeper for a World Cup soccer team and you were ready for that penalty kick shootout? Or what if you were a surgeon in the midst of a very difficult bypass operation? Or perhaps you were an airline pilot trying to land a jet with three engines and two of the engines were out. Now certainly all of these challenging situations would demand that every individual perform at the highest skill level of competence in a moment of great pressure and great scrutiny. And this is where we find Daniel and his friends as we continue our series of messages on how do we celebrate Advent. Today, how do we celebrate Advent with confidence? King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and this dream troubled him so much he was not able to sleep. Certainly, Nebuchadnezzar, he had plenty of earthly goods. In fact, his hanging gardens of Babylon were known as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. But luxury, wealth, and power doesn't necessarily bring tranquility or peace of mind, does it? A theologian by the name of Donald Campbell put it like this: "The cares of the day can become the cares of the night." And so King Nebuchadnezzar, he awoke and he summoned all his advisors. Now the king called in the wise men, and I want you to understand what wise men meant in ancient Babylon. They were the king's magicians, his astrologers, and his sorcerers. Now, the magicians weren't performing magical acts like we think of people doing today, but the magicians were the sacred writers or the scholars of the kingdom. The astrologers, they were known as enchanters and they were high priests. And the sorcerers, they were involved in the occult and they sold herbs and potions. I guess you could say the sorcerers were sort of the drug dealers of their day. The Chaldeans call these three groups of people, the magicians, the astrologers, and the sorcerers, they were known as the wise men. Now, these alleged wise men were assembled before the king. And apparently, the king was a little suspicious of these rascals for quite some time. As a result, the king held his ground in the face of their protests. And if they couldn't come up with the interpretation of his dream, he threatened them with capital punishment. This was no idle threat, because we know from biblical history and secular history that Nebuchadnezzar was no angel. In fact, you might say that ISIS and Al-Qaeda are sort of taking some lessons from Nebuchadnezzar. These so-called wise men, they were pleading for mercy. They were insisting, "King, you're asking the impossible. We can't interpret your dream." And their response made the king so angry that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon, including Daniel and his three friends. Well, a king's guard confronted Daniel. And Daniel didn't express either fear or anger. Did you notice that? The lack of emotion in the scriptures. Instead, confidently, Daniel spoke to the king with wisdom and tact. And essentially what Daniel was saying was this: if you give me enough time, give me some time, I guarantee I will give you, king, an answer to your significant dream. This was quite a huge promise, wasn't it? And Daniel shared his burden with his three friends. You know, we call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but those weren't their Hebrew names. And together, Daniel and those three friends, what did they begin to do? They started to pray. And the Bible says they began to plead for mercy from the God of heaven. And I think this was a special example of their spiritual confidence. They asked that God in his mercy would intervene and would rescue them from their pending execution. Isn't it reassuring when we have challenges in life that we have friends that can pray with us and for us? And as these four men prayed, God unveiled the secret of the king's dream to Daniel. And did you notice the matter-of-fact statement in the scripture of the answer to their prayer? It says, quote, "During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision." Notice also in the scriptures Daniel's response. With the proverbial noose still around his neck, his first verbal response was not to use his knowledge of the interpretation of the king's dream for his personal advantage, but instead, he didn't even run immediately into the presence of the king. But rather, what does the scripture tell us? What was his first response to answered prayer? He decided to worship God. And the focus of his worship that we just read about was about God's power and God's provision. Did you notice how God's name was praised? God was acknowledged as the source of wisdom and power. You know, I believe that just as God was interested in the times and seasons of Daniel and his friend's life, God is interested in the seasons of our life today. God is sovereign over the tenure of every political leader in this world. God is the source of discernment and wisdom. And God can reveal the meaning of dreams. Why? Because God is the source of true light. Certainly, Daniel gave God all the praise for answering his prayer. And during Advent, you and I can also not just praise the Lord in the church, but praise the Lord as we gather with family and friends for all the answered prayers in our life as well. I think Daniel's response to answered prayer can guide us to examine the focus of our hearts during Advent. Do we tend to focus on the blessings, or do we tend to focus on the blesser? Do we tend to focus too much on God's work and not enough on the Lord of his work? Do we tend to focus too much on the answer to prayer? Or do we need to focus more on the Almighty God who answers our prayers? I'd like you to consider this morning, isn't Advent all about our focus? And when we daily fail to put our confidence in God, I think it's easy to lose the focus of what Advent is all about. Our focus becomes blurred, and we can begin to only see the trees and not see the forest in the background. Some of you are saying, "Pastor, this is a really stressful time of year for me." Advent can be a stressful time. Yet, Daniel and his friends, they were facing a lot of stress, right? Their lives were at stake. And yet, Daniel's focus stayed clear during this time of life and death pressure. I believe Daniel's heart was really locked on God. God enabled him to thrive under pressure rather than wilt under pressure. And Daniel, he moved ahead with confidence that God was going to prepare the way. Daniel went to the captain of the king's guard and told him, since he could interpret the king's dream, no need to carry out these executions of the wise men. And Daniel then stood before the king and told him he was going to interpret that dream. And Daniel exhibited a sincere understanding of his role in the event. The event was not about Daniel. The event was about God. And Daniel's actions revealed that he didn't have confidence in himself. Whoops, I gotta watch the mic, huh? But he had confidence in God. Daniel was able to accurately interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. This became a powerful learning opportunity for the king. But even more powerful was the glory that it brought to God that day. In essence, what did Daniel see in his dream? Daniel chapter 2, verses 32 to 35. He saw this huge statue of a man. And this man was constituted by various types of metal. And in this dream, as I said, that's recorded in Daniel chapter 2, verses 32 to 35, we see symbolically depicted the history of the world's great powers from about 600 B.C. until the time when Jesus Christ returns again at his second advent. The head was made of gold, the chest and arms of silver, the belly and the thighs were of bronze, the legs were made of iron, but the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay. And the most precious metals were at the top of the image, while the lower parts ended in clay. Do we have sound again, Michael? Can you hear me? He's getting it geared up. I'm just going to talk loud, all right? As one goes down, the metals were deteriorating in fineness. Each metal was inferior to the metal above it. The great image would be brought to nothing. A stone was cut out of the quarry by an unseen power, and the stone fell upon the image and broke it into pieces. The entire image fell. Even the gold and the silver were broken into pieces so small that they became like the chaff on a threshing floor. Now we have sound again. Then the pulverized fragments of the image were dispersed by the wind. Thus not a trace was left of that huge statue. And the stone that fell expanded into a great mountain, and so tremendous was the size of this mountain that it filled the entire earth. The image of all those precious metals was gone. Only the stone survived. Many Bible scholars believe that the head of gold represented Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian Empire. And the two arms of silver represented the Medo-Persian Empire under Darius the Mede and Cyrus the Persian. And those signs of brass provide us with a picture of the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. And the legs of iron represented the Roman Empire. And when we celebrate Advent, we remember that Jesus was born under that fourth world empire. He was born under the reign of Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, and the great iron hand of Rome was in control. But the lower Daniel focused on that image of the king's dream, the weaker it became. Eventually, even secular history tells us in 395 AD, the Roman Empire was split in two, with the western capital at Rome and the eastern capital at Constantinople, which is now Istanbul in Turkey. And over the centuries, there were still many divisions of the Roman Empire. But the influence of Rome continues today. Much of our literature, law, language, and even the names of our months reflect Rome. We all know that Russia has been in the news in recent months. And the Russians have a saying. The first Rome fell. That was Rome. The second Rome fell. That was Constantinople. And the Russian people believe the third Rome is Moscow. And the fourth Rome there will never be. Well, I got news for them. The third Rome is not Moscow. There will never be another influential world power like the ancient Roman Empire. And the next great world empire or power is not going to be American, British, Chinese, or Russian, but it will be the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he will set up when he comes back to earth again. The God of heaven, according to Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 and 45, says, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever, unquote. This is the meaning of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain but not made by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and even that gold head into pieces. We can be confident that the next world power will be Jesus Christ. And at his second advent, he will fill the entire earth with his presence and with his glory. And that prayer we repeat every Sunday, some of you repeat it every day, thy kingdom come, will finally be fulfilled. Yes. In life, as in the weather, there are times of high pressure and low pressure. But there is never a time when there is no pressure at all. And our choices during those challenging times of pressure tell a lot about us. What is our focus in times of pressure? Do we scramble to protect ourselves at all costs? Do we find ourselves doing desperate things that could harm other people in the process? Or are we more concerned with how our behaviors, particularly during Advent, will reflect upon God? During this busy season, my challenge to you is to schedule time for thoughtful moments of Bible study, prayer, and meditation. Use the Lord, allow the Lord, ask the Lord to showcase his presence through your life. Use those quiet moments to line up your life with God's eternal purposes to bring honor and glory to him and enjoy him forever with confidence. Because, especially during Advent, we need to always remember that when Jesus came at his first coming, according to John chapter 1, verse 9, he came as the Lamb of God. But when Jesus returns at his second advent, he is going to come, according to Revelation 5:5, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. May we remember during Advent that Jesus Christ first came as Savior, but he's coming again to be the King. Let's continue to celebrate Advent as we stand and turn to number 85. There's a song in the air, number 85.